For April the 12th, 2013, we talk about the always online Xbox controversy, the Dark Souls 2 announcement, and ask the listeners which game got the strongest emotional response out of them. Welcome to the 18th level. My name's Cole Ross.
I'm Dennis Furia.
I'm David Mysmith.
And this is The Level, a podcast for people who just, gosh darn, love them video games. Thank you so much for tuning in for another week here in what is lining up to be a banner week for the DuckFeed.tv network. Most of the shows came out this week, which is more than you can say for Oh, man. So yeah, Ben couldn't join us because of a scheduling snafu on my side, but the show goes on. Yeah, I can't think of any pre-roll stuff to do. So do you guys want to just like jump into it?
Sure.
Let's do it. It's time for the brief where we talk about things that are happening in video games in the world around us. We're observing and commenting and you're listening and we're saying this and the computer's recording. The light is glowing. This drink is alcoholic. What are we doing? What am I doing with my life? Okay. So does anybody... That's not so much an adverb, it's a gerund. An adverb ends in L-Y.
Oh, crap. I always get those mixed up.
That's fine.
Gerund sounds like some low-level monster in an MMO.
Yeah. The gerund's lair. Title? So while I'm typing this title down, does anybody want to advance a story?
I've got one that if anyone that is listening follows me on Twitter, they're probably tired of hearing about at this point, which is the whole Adam Orth ordeal.
Yeah, yeah. The electricity
the
could go out.
Deal?
The electricity could go out, therefore I will not buy a vacuum cleaner. Is that the deal?
That's like the microcosm for the entire thing, yeah.
Okay.
And I've just been fascinated as kind of a student of social media in general, watching this implosion. It's basically the Twitter equivalent of a train wreck,
right?
And the bodies in this case is Michael Orth's career and internet credibility.
So Microsoft employee responding to rumors that the Xbox 360 sequel, the Vengeance of the Xbox 360, will be always online. Which
yeah,
and people take umbrage at.
Yeah,
yeah, I do not like that.
And just for anyone who hasn't seen it, and again, you're probably so saturated with this that you can't believe we're talking about it now. But for anyone who hasn't seen it, basically, he made some statements of, that's so stupid that anyone would be mad about this. Another developer kind of wrote back to him and said, well, try living in Janesville, Wisconsin, or Blacksburg, Virginia, or one of those places. It's kind of different than where you lived. And he was basically like, why would I live in those shitholes?
Yeah, you know what? Don't
he
do
has
that.
He has a point.
Why would I live there?
There are some things that in polite society you just don't say. We live in the flyover states, Mm-hmm. So maybe we're coming from a slightly defensive position, but it's I don't even know. Yeah, just don't do that. Don't be a dick.
Yeah, well, and I think it just represents a level of out of touchness. Like getting ready for this episode, my internet randomly went out, and I had to go restart the modem and hop back on the call. Hopefully, that doesn't happen again while we're recording. And if it does, Cole's editing magic will make sure you never know about it. but that's just, I think we take for granted how often those little disconnections happen. And certainly for a higher up exec at Microsoft, it just really was clear he had lost touch.
Like even big cities, like I lived in Brooklyn for a couple of months and my internet was going out all the time.
It was actually, I read a study that said, again, related to this, that parts of New York are actually some of the worst in right. terms of internet connectivity.
Yeah.
Well, it's also, that's actually to a large degree one of the scenarios I think of when I think of why I would ever want a console as opposed to buying things on Steam is sometimes I can't connect to the internet, so I like to have, you know, a console game I can play.
It's why you like. I mean, this doesn't hold true because you can play your, you know, your iOS games offline, you know, to a certain degree. But it's why like a DS is a better artifact to hold on to than a than an iPhone.
No, but totally I agree.
I think the other thing is it's kind of the Chekhov's gun thing. You know, if simply by the fact that they're putting in always on connection means that at some point they'll come up with some or probably multiple asinine uses for it. So I guess it bothers me more simply because I don't want all the things that they will inevitably do with it.
Yeah, and the first rumor, and I don't know if it was an announcement or leak, is that it's gonna your Xbox is gonna be used to control your TV, cable channels and everything. So for they're inventing reasons that means always on. So it's looking more and more certain that that Xbox Next Gen is going to be always on. And I think that was the interesting thing, because the twist of this is at the time of our recording, it's relatively new news that he's actually resigned from the company, Michael Orth, who made those statements, or Adam Orth.
Resigned and, under duress.
Right. And it was, you know, up until that point, it was completely okay for me to hate him and lash out at him and tweet making fun of him. And now all of a sudden, like, it just got real.
It's somebody's job. You're by far, you're not the first person to crack wise at his expense. So you shouldn't feel bad.
But here's the thing.
I don't get why they would fire him. Like,
well, I'll tell you why. It's any other company and it's some other games journalists I follow on Twitter made the comment that, you know, I say stupider stuff on Twitter like a dozen times a day and I don't get fired. So everyone, you know, this should be a tragedy. And I got thinking about, okay, so why was this so serious? And the reason is that, you know, any other statement that some employee makes is something that a company can shrug off. But Adam was actually voicing what Microsoft is secretly thinking.
Right.
So the issue is, it's kind of like the political advice: say anything except the truth,
right?
Basically, and that is the most damning thing about this whole ordeal is that he wound up, as you said, Cole, resigning under duress.
Right?
Is that any, you know, if Microsoft had any sort of good intentions behind this always on thing, or had any sort of plans to make it right, then they could have laughed him off. But because I feel like they and again, this is all unfounded, but because they're taking a path of we're going to shove always on down everyone's throats, they aren't able to laugh off his comments, which are a little too close to home. So that's kind of what I took away from it. It's very sad that he lost his job. Although I'm sure after holding that position, there are a number of places you could go.
Right.
But it makes me worried for Xbox's next generation.
Yeah. So I'm not gonna. I'm sorry, David, but I want to get this out of my head before lose it. So so I'm gonna lay down some axioms, maybe a proof or two.
Sure.
So we can agree that the world is more connected than it was yesterday, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. And I think that there's not much disagreement that we are kind of like growing more connected as it goes. Right. And that we're all kind of converging towards this, you know, apocalyptic singularity where every device talks to every other device. But
that's,
you know,
my goal.
Very, very shortly before that time, when we are ground up to be used as lubricant, there will be a time.
I don't think about what kind of lubricant.
It is noisy and it is hot. No. So, at a point in time very shortly before that, any company that isn't kind of taking advantage of the benefits of being connected will be seen as, you know, out of touch, outdated, right? Like, not a thing. So that is my incredibly obtuse way of saying, like, this might be the next arena. And like, what have we always been saying? like, you know, the next frontier for consoles isn't going to be better graphics. Like, you know, yes, you can always, things can always look better, but what we're kind of like increasingly going towards is better functionality, things that can enable different modes of play, things that can, you know, kind of fundamentally change the experience in something that is a little bit more abstract than a sensory way, right?
Right. Mm-hmm.
So at this point, it's really just a concern, like, of if they're doing it too soon, not if it's a good idea for them to eventually do it.
See, I would actually say, I think the issue is not that it's always on. It's the fact that you have to be always on.
So this is this is where I was going to double back on my point, and this is something that Griffin McElroy said on the on the Besties podcast. So I'm not cribbing it. I'm just referencing it. Is that okay? So this makes one third, assuming that Nintendo maintains their status as kind of a contender, but maybe not. assuming Nintendo maintains this is one third of all games available that would be unavailable if there was any kind of outage. This is one third for a large portion that is like just like not a thing for a certain percentage of the population. And mm-hmm. there are good games that are Xbox 360 exclusive, right? I mean,
there's
Gears of War,
right.
Sorry,
and other things, that Banjo Kazooie game was pretty good, that's a bummer, right? And where this gets to be a tragedy is that like the smart way to go would be for certain features to like encourage you to be always online or to benefit that in a certain way. Kind of like the model right now, where it's kind of like you can buy Call of Duty and get a perfectly good experience, but if you can connect to the internet, hey, you're going to have a pretty good time with this thing because there's this whole other world inside of it. Mm-hmm. And all of this stuff, like think about like Destiny, right? Like where it's this weird hybrid kind of thing, like on a per game or on a software basis to make this, you know, like not online required, but like online enhanced, but like maybe a little bit more part of the backbone of this thing and not superfluous, kind of like it is right now, to where your game would still work if the developer wanted it to work offline, and then it would be on the developers and not on the and not on the console, not on the console builders, you know, Microsoft themselves. However, there is the argument like, oh, if nobody requires it, nobody's going to going to enforce it.
Yeah, because after all, no one's going to use the internet unless you force them to use the internet.
Yeah.
I think the moral here is, and kind of to condense your thesis there to one sentence, it's pull us there, don't push us there.
Right.
Yeah.
And also, I think it's, you know, you want your product to fail gracefully. You know, I love Steam Cloud, where it saves, you know, my save games to the ether. But if every time that I lost power in the middle of the game, it then didn't save any more of my progress, I would be pissed.
Yeah.
Whereas the way it's currently set up, it does both, and then just the next time you log on, it, you know,
whichever
reconciles.
One's newest, yeah. It always handles that. Syncing is hard no matter what.
Right, but I mean, that's the situation where, you know, I want to use the online feature, but I would be angry and it wouldn't work if you had to always use it. Basically, if you have to use it, then the it's on them to make sure it always works.
Right. If I have to do this, make sure that it's good. And, you know, just good has never been a prerequisite for anybody except Valve. And, like, even Valve, like, only within the past, like, 6 years. I don't know. So like the timing on this, like hot on the heels of SimCity, like which was, you know, EA got on the list of the, you know, the worst company in America, which is complete bullshit because like Bank of America or AIG or whatever should have been up there. But no, gamers are online, so they're going to make EA, people who made it so their city building game didn't work for a month, are the worst monsters in history.
Although actually I was reading... Yes, this is the only gaming website I actually read there. Penny Arcades, their little news outlet.
Yeah, Ben Kuchera's thing.
Yeah. And I thought they made a good point that to a certain degree, companies that you know are evil, it doesn't bother you when they do evil things because that's what you expect. That's what their job is.
Yeah.
Where really, really, this is the rating of companies that shouldn't be evil that are.
I'm not angry. I'm just surprised and disappointed. No, right. So I guess what I'm saying is, like, if SimCity didn't just happen last month, then people wouldn't have already had their pitchforks and torches out.
Yeah, yeah, whole different ballgame.
Right.
So I don't know. We'll wait. May 21st is when everyone is saying Microsoft is going to do their big reveal. So we'll see how they handle confirming or denying always on.
I am so happy that I have like a grown up ass job where I can afford both of these things if I wanted them.
Yeah. You
know? It's like, yeah. So take that, losers. That was me riding away on a jet ski.
Wow.
Because I'm living a millionaire's life. oh, man. So I'll do one that is completely unsurprising for me. IGN just put out some gameplay footage of Dark Souls 2. It is very much a thing. There are no forthcoming details about release date or even what system it is. I got to say, it looks a little bit too pretty to be on Xbox 360 or PlayStation 3. Yeah, no, maybe they were running the PC build. It looks real good. Yeah. They put in like dynamic shadows, which is something the original didn't have. The environments are real huge and detailed. There are, as the developer said, different kinds of deaths.
Yeah.
How exactly do you define different types of deaths?
More traps and kind of like environmental stuff. So like, you know, anybody can die when they're, you know, hit with a troll's axe, but you know, it takes a special kind of person or a special kind of environment or game to make you die by like, you know, a vat of acid falling. That isn't a specific example, but you know, okay. Just so the imagination can run wild. They also released a new trailer. This was like just here today. And by today, I mean 2 days ago when you're listening to this at the earliest. So this is as close to breaking news as we're going to get. It looks real good. Check it out.
Yeah, I have to say, and I haven't watched the trailer yet. So this is, you know, I'm going in blind. I found it right before the podcast and had to like restrain myself not to just be like, guys, hold on, I'm watching this.
Give me 12 minutes, go get a beverage, go, yeah. tell your loved ones that you love them, I'll be back.
Yeah. But the idea of, hey, we want to focus on more ways to die, I feel like to some extent misunderstands what made dying in Dark Souls so engaging, if not fun. Like, right. And you can tell me if I'm wrong, but aside from a very few things like getting eaten by the mimic, your death animation is pretty much the same every time. Your guy slumps over and it's like you died and you restart. So there's very little spectacle involved in the death. It's that each death is a learning experience. That's so good.
Right.
So I feel like if they go this more ways to die route, as in we just want to make death a spectacle, they'll have missed the point. But if they go more ways to die, as in, you know, more lessons to learn, I feel like they'll have knocked it out of the park.
So here's what I'm going to say in order to kind of like not refute that, but support it and kind of say like maybe the fears would be unfounded. Which, you know, pleasantly surprised is good. This is a quote from the developer. We want the players to be nervous, stressed, really careful in terms of walking around each corner and being aware of any enemies that come in. So we want that emotional nervousness and pressure.
Yeah, that sounds like it falls in the ladder scam. Good.
Yeah.
Good.
So like just I'm not worried about much. I tend to worry, you know, I tend to be skeptical. Maybe my blindness to the series is taking effect. Who knows? But I feel good based on what I've seen.
Let's just add another notch to that expectation belt.
A little bit. A little bit.
Oh man. And they haven't even announced when this comes out yet, right?
No. I would be surprised if it wasn't, you know, October-ish.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
November would be a launch title.
Oh yeah, that's true. Fuck. I'd buy a new machine for it. It would make me buy a launch machine, which would really, really upset me because it'll break.
Yeah.
David, how about you? Stories?
I've got nothing. I'm going to pretend. Actually, I was going to talk about those things you talked about, but you know,
you know.
Can you mention this? I guess you talked about it last time, so it's not a new story. I was going to say talk about Improbable Island, but it sounds like you talked about that last time.
Yes.
That would again, actually, that would more or less be my what I've been playing.
Yeah, I was going to say, not a new story. I don't even know if it's a new thing. It's new to me. So,
but before we segue, I would like to say that, in the absence of a new story from you, David, kerfuffle is an actual word.
Hebrew?
Kerfuffle?
Okay.
Should it not be?
I didn't know. I thought it was like one of those made up words that the teachers and people from a generation gone by would say. For the show notes I wrote Xbox 360 always online kerfuffle, and I thought, I wonder if that's how you spell that. I wonder if that's actually a word. And it is a word.
From the Latin kerfail.
From the Latin kerfar, which means which
as
means
a side
to fail.
Note, show title kerfuffle from the Latin kerfail.
Oh man, that's going to be tough to beat out Jaren's lair.
The grind,
guys. Let's grind this to a fine powder.
Yeah, what you been grinding on?
Yeah, so I'm going to get mine out of the way because it's boring and otherwise unnoteworthy. So I've got an iOS title that I've been grinding up on. It's called Nimble Quest. You guys played Snake, right?
Yeah.
Not Metal Gear Solid, which would be Snake. That was the dumbest thing. No. It's a cell phone game. It's you play it in Gmail. You're navigating a space and you don't want to like run into each other. So this is a game that's by Nimblebit, the developers of Tiny Tower and Pocket Planes, both of which are kind of these simulation, let's say Farmville-esque, but with pixel art, so they're acceptable. They're persistent, they're kind of like property management kind of things, but this is like an actual kind of game from them with their requisite level of charm. So it's like Snake, except you're playing as adventurers from kind of a 16-bit RPG kind of thing. So you start out with like the warrior, the rogue, and the mage, right? And you're moving in a grid, and there are enemies, and you can attack them as you are approaching them. Different character classes or different heroes have different attack abilities, and the goal is to defeat all the enemies and pick up the gems. And it's real short. It is real short matches. You have a certain amount of rounds per day because it is free to play. It is that model, which is kind of obnoxious, but I can excuse it because sometimes you really only want to play two or three times a day. And yeah, you go around, you get different maps, and you pick up different heroes. And it is real neat.
Nice.
Nimble Quest.
How long have you been... When exactly did you download it?
Maybe like 3-4 days ago, something like that.
Okay, so it's got at least a four-day shelf life.
Yeah, at least a four-day shelf life. Yeah. Other than that, we've instituted a game day at work, usually Wednesday nights, but I ducked out to do this show. And the game du jour is Minecraft. Actually,
nice.
So we set up a Minecraft server to play multiplayer and get things set up. And hoo boy, my observation is that like for me, the symptoms of a Minecraft bender are indistinguishable from like acute depression. It's like, where's Cole at? Oh, he's building his farm. Still, yeah, it's been all weekend. Yeah, no, it's fun. I'd never played multiplayer Minecraft before. There are a lot of like different dynamics to that, such as like, wait a minute, you're encroaching on my territory. Boy, this person decided to start booby trapping their thing, but don't worry, they just filled it with eggs for now. it's been a little while since I've played a vanilla Minecraft. Or B, Minecraft since like its most recent updates where they added alchemy or enchanting and stuff like that. So I've been kind of diving into those areas, and then they've made the farming a little bit more robust. So kind of devising new ways to lay out those farms and harvest them animals and, you know, structure my mines for these new and strange and crazy ores. It feels like a kind of a brand new game. That coupled with playing with other people, sometimes in the same room, sometimes on the clock, it's been real neat. I like that game a lot. It harnesses my my inclination to make order out of chaos in an unhealthy way.
That's really what so many games are, especially in like the sim realm, or I don't even know what you would call Minecraft, but creating order out of chaos.
Yeah, I would call it a sim in that it is a systems-based game.
Yeah, systems-based game. That's great. Yeah.
I'm not going to go, you know, the step further and say emergent or whatever, because I'm a dick, but I'm not that huge of a dick. No, it's good. The new additions, it's a little bit weird. There's a little bit more of a progression. There's like, you know, there's a definite end game to the, you know, to the vanilla Minecraft that, you know, hasn't been present before. You know, you're working towards things. There's a real progression. The Nether has a bigger purpose now. Man, I am kicking everybody's ass in terms of like land management, like just getting more places. They're like, dude, I wanted to expand to there. Well, I got there first. You can like, you know, glean from my fields if you want, but this is like straight up mine. I've done like marked up my territory. So
you realize this will only end in Siegecraft.
He's got all his opponents, his enemies' heads on spikes to mark his territory next week.
Well, really, it's pumpkins on fence posts, but they get the idea.
When were you able to do that in Minecraft?
What?
Put people's heads on spikes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Also pumpkins on fence posts.
Yes, pumpkins on fence posts. Yeah, I'm the first person to the Nether. I think, it's a bunch of stuff.
Nice.
It's funny because I'm playing, you know, this is like next level stuff, but I'm playing like mostly with designers who are like visually focused, and they're making some like really awesome, like, you know, like these, you know, like treetop cities and, you know, ornate cathedral castles and things like that. And mine, like, it's regimented grids and symmetrical designs that with railways between them that go down into the depths and then back up to my perfectly cubic symmetrical cliffside castle.
Like, who's the account guy? Who are the creatives?
I'm not even an account guy. I'm creative. I write. I'm just medicated for certain things that they aren't. So, oh man. So that's all I've been playing. Nothing too interesting aside from that wrinkle. Dennis, what have you been playing?
I've actually been upholding the working theory we've got that we all play the exact same games just in different orders. So the first game that I started playing was The Cave.
Okay. Oh, which, yeah, because it went free on PSN, right?
Yeah, and my God, I mean, Spec Ops: The Line, The Cave, Demon's Souls, like these are not bargain bin games that I'm getting for free. So. I'm sure I'm beginning to sound like I'm paid to say this, but PlayStation Plus has paid dividends beyond what I expected. But I'm doing the entire game co-op with Jen, which is really nice that you can play that way.
Oh wow!
Yeah, and it's one of those games where really really it's designed, I think, to be played by one player moving one character at a time, and it's just. You know, they don't do any big alterations for co-op. It's just slightly more convenient if you want to move multiple characters at once because, you know, you can move along the screen with each other. So, but otherwise, the core of the experience is preserved. And I'm amazed at how much of the game takes place with, you know, the screen and the characters on the screen not moving at all, while me and Jen just kind of sit on the couch and discuss through what the solutions might be. Mm-hmm. Which is just really, you know, it's interesting to have that internal monologue that goes on when you're playing a puzzle game, be brought out and actually be verbalized. So that's been a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. I think The Cave best earns the description of deliciously twisted.
Yeah.
Like just man, I'm playing with the Knight, the Hillbilly, and the Twins.
Okay.
And we've gotten through the sections for the Knight and the Hillbilly.
And I just, saw, did you send me a text about what happened with the Knight?
Yes. And just, I won't go into detail on it for spoiler reasons, but just, you know, one of the character missions, well, I guess all of the character missions have an interesting turn to them at one point or another. And just the emotional reaction that elicited with the Knight's area, it was really interesting. So yeah. We got into a little argument about whose fault it was. Even though it's kind of something that was an inevitability given the game. So, it's been a lot of fun. And like I said, deliciously twisted is the perfect phrasing for it.
Yeah. It's got kind of an Edward Gorey vibe to it, except the victims aren't all kids. Only two of them are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's been a lot of fun. It's done a good job of keeping puzzles to the point where you feel like you're making progress in solving something difficult without keeping you stuck.
Right.
It's been one of those things, since I'm playing it for enjoyment, I've been willing to go to a fact, but it hasn't really reached that point yet.
As opposed to not playing for enjoyment.
Well, yeah, playing for the honor.
Right.
I'm a serious gamer. Damn it.
Dennis San. Yeah. So. Yeah. It's a real good game. I would like to go back and do it with more characters, but I feel like having played with the ones that I did, I got a really good cross section of what the game is about.
Okay, so have you only beat it once?
Only once, yeah.
Okay, cool. So yeah, there's the cave, and then also another PlayStation Plus related sale that went on. I finally knuckled down and bought The Walking Dead.
Oh, fantastic.
Yes. And fantastic is a great word for it. Also horrible and depressing.
Yeah. Emotionally exhausting. Soul wearying, even.
Like, the first episode, there were some choices that I felt pretty good about. The second episode, there were no.
What was it you said? I'm sorry.
I said the first episode of The Walking Dead, there were some choices I felt pretty good about. The second episode, no choices that I felt good about.
Literally nothing.
Yeah. And like I would literally, you know, every choice point has like a timer attached to it. Mm-hmm. And I would kind of wait and be like, okay, I know which one I think I want to press. I would press the button right before the timer expired and then immediately change my mind and try to press the other button. But I don't make my choice and I couldn't go back and I had to watch it play out in front of my eyes and feel horrified. But damn, is that good game? Is that game good?
Yeah. So I mean, it's difficult to talk about the game without any spoilers. But just, you know, and thinking about it now, and just in having talked with Ben about it, and you know, and getting your positive impressions of it, do you think it's fair to say that this game is doing what Heavy Rain was trying to do, but like much, much better?
Yes. Oh, I had not thought about it that way before, but yes, absolutely. And it's not a hard game, but nope. It knows exactly what it wants to be about.
Mm-hmm.
and just does that perfectly.
Yeah.
So, wow. I'm through the second episode. You know, I'm sure I'll start the third sometime here in the near future, but man, I'm learning. I need to clear my calendar because it's impossible for me to play less than a full episode at a time.
Right. Right. I mean, it's not really a matter of clearing your calendar though. I mean, like the episodes get shorter as you go. Mm-hmm. And you know, at the longest, they're about 2 hours a piece.
Yeah, it's like watching a movie.
Right, right. And is that one that you're playing with Jen, your wife?
No, she's got the heebie-jeebies for The Walking Dead. So okay. I tried to talk her into it, mm-hmm. and she was like, you know, it's one of those things where I know where my limits are, and I know the things that I'm not going to like, and mm-hmm. you know, I don't disagree. I don't fault anyone for enjoying it, and I'm sure it's amazing. I just know it's not for me. Yep. I was like, I can respect that.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was going to say. You have to respect that. That's perfectly fine.
Yeah, yeah. So, but it is one that you could very I was about to say that you could very easily watch someone play. And
No. Like it's almost like learning the true self of somebody else. Like, wait a minute, what?
What choice did you make? No. Give me that controller.
Well, like if you go back and listen to the bonus level that we did about it, which maybe you'll feel like it, maybe you won't. Apparently, we were wrong about a bunch of shit, but Ben was just like horrified at my apparent bloodlust. It's kind of like, and I could justify all my decisions based on my worldview, but it's like, huh, wow, I would not have done that. And it's like, oh, okay. So
it's interesting. I feel like I've decided to play this in character, and the character or the personality that I've decided to play is that I'm a person who chooses sides, and I am insanely loyal to the people that I've chosen to be on the side of. And I am just ready. I make every choice possible to harass the people that I've chosen the side of.
Okay. So I mean, this is early game spoilers, and it wouldn't mean anything to anybody who hadn't gotten to this point. Lily or Kenny?
Oh, Kenny, for sure.
Okay, cool. Yeah.
Yeah. Specifically for something that happened in the drugstore.
Right, right.
And the thing that happened, I was like, oh, fuck you.
Yeah.
So that's been the way I played. But again, it's weird because it's one of those games that I just sit and think about when I'm not playing it. Mm-hmm. I walk back through the decisions and I'm like, okay, I know in the moment what I was thinking when I did it, but really, like, this also served this other darker motivation in me as well. Like, so an outsider looking in, I know the reasons I did what I did, but someone looking in could say I had the wrong motives in doing it. And gosh, maybe, I mean, I did think about it that way, but it wasn't my main motivation. And just like, so I'm psychoanalyzing myself on it to the nth degree. I feel like that's something that not many games do, cause that kind of introspection.
Right.
So yeah, I played those two games. Like I said, we on the level all play the exact same games, just in different orders.
I think sure
you can chart them like a virus through our hosts.
Day one, it's in Cincinnati. Day two, Indianapolis. Day three, Oklahoma City. Day four, Los Angeles. Day five, the world.
Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah, that's a huh.
Yeah. And then the one other game I'll mention, usually I don't think that mobile games are worth mentioning more than one week in a row.
Okay.
But New World Colony continues to just be amazing. So this is Settlers of Catan Light. I've just been playing online matches versus random other people. You know, it's sometimes in groups of one, or excuse me, sometimes in groups of two, three, or four. And I've started to branch into the different game modes, just, you know, not intentionally, just I do a random, you know, match me to any match. And the other game modes are really, really interesting. Mm-hmm. So there are some game modes where it's called pacifist, and you know, the ability to invade is taken away, so it's purely a land grab up front, and then how you manage that. There's warlord, where invasions are really, really easy, so it's from the beginning you're constantly thinking defensively. There's a mode where you can still invade, but your defenses are boosted to the point of being able to make yourself nigh invulnerable, so it's almost like, you know, an in-between of regular mode and pacifist mode, where you know, the best strategy is to do a land grab and then fortify it. But if you're really smart about it, you can flank people or surprise them. And every time my phone gets that little buzz of, it's your turn, you know, the maps are randomized and I've got eight games going at once. So every time it's like, oh, what new situation am I going to be thrown into? Because, you know, it's, oh, I forgot I was playing this game. That's right. And what was my strategy? And, oh, man, he did that. I was not expecting that. So I got to – it's just I've probably played that game more than all the other games combined over the past 2 weeks. And it is phenomenal, and it has held up. So New World Colony, go find it. I think it's still free, and it is freaking amazing.
Yeah, no, you're making a very good case for it.
Yeah. This is my Dark Souls.
No, that is perfectly acceptable, I would say. Yeah. On that turn-based multiplayer kind of tip. Have you played any Super Stickman Golf?
The Hubba Hubba what?
What?
Super Stickman Golf.
Turn-based RPG Super Stickman.
It's not an RPG. It's a turn-based 2D golf game. But it's I haven't talked about it just because I played a lot of the first one, and number two, most of the features are multiplayer. But it's a turn-based arcade action golf kind of thing with special balls. I would recommend. I would like to have somebody to play with.
Okay, well, it's Super Stickman Golf.
Yes, it's only a couple of dollars.
Wait, okay, could you describe it as turn-based arcade action golf with special balls?
Yes. Don't be juvenile. Oh, okay, man.
I'm looking it up right now. For those of you listening, recording the level is just me opening up window after window of interesting things to look at. And then, you know, once we're done, I just binge on all the stuff that's mentioned throughout the show.
Yes. So, iOS, it is a place to be. Cool. Yeah. So here is my question for you, David. What have you been grinding on?
Well, I'm still running in, Improbable Island. Okay. I'm narrowing in. I've probably got about, an hour or so away of game play away from completing my first, drive kill. So, you know, this is another one of those games where you kind of, play the same game over and over again, but you can keep some of your stuff from the previous playthrough.
Yeah.
So, still completely crazy. I think one of my highlights was fighting my present self, and then proceeding to strip my present self of meat and cooking it and eating it in order to gain more playtime.
Okay.
I've upgraded from my starting equipment of a spork and frilly pink panties to a chainsaw and bulletproof vest.
Okay.
So I feel like that's moving up in the world.
Progress.
And I've attracted a companion of Caroline the Speed Medic.
In that she vends you amphetamines or is very quick?
Very quick, as in if you think about it, you know, an actual medic could not, you know, heal you during combat. That's just crazy.
Right.
So you need superpowers to actually heal someone while they're still fighting.
You know what? I'll allow it.
So.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's still pretty crazy. Still would recommend it. Something kind of interesting is after you go through and have viewed, you know, 3,000 screens, a message comes up, one-time message basically saying, hey, you might think about donating.
Makes sense.
But it's really, really interesting, you know, really well written, you know, goes through, you know, how the thing's set up, points out the fact that, you know, even, you know, thousands of turns only cost the servers a couple of cents, so, you know, don't feel like it's going to shut down if you don't support it, sort of thing. So, very, very classy way of doing it. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah, no, that's that is a good way of doing it. Let the people who want and appreciate your thing come out and support it.
Right. And it's also, you know, at that point, you know, after you've gone through like 3,000 turns, you're probably someone that at least marginally cares about it.
Yep. So they're not just kind of like, you know, second turn in. Would you like to register this software and also give us money?
Right. Exactly. Yeah. So, the other thing, I broke down and for celebration bought Bioshock Infinite.
Oh, fantastic.
So, I don't know. I've really, really been enjoying it.
Well, first, I mean, do you want to say what you're celebrating, or is that just a vague thing?
That was going to be my end boss, because never good at coming up with those.
Okay, so continue talking about BioShock. I will not bite your steez.
Sure, no problem. So far the I don't know how far are you in?
Literally right when combat starts.
Okay. I'm a fair way past that, although the part before combat
and by fairway past that, you mean it turns into a golf game.
Exactly.
I kind of want to play BioShock Infinite now.
It's like crazy.
I've got to say that, although even that part before it actually becomes a game is amazing.
Oh, yeah.
It's really, I feel like, you know, I'm excited to beat it because I want to then be able to go back and read what various people make of the message or whatever of the game. Kind of my take on it so far is I don't think it's so much it's not a political game, or it does have a political message, so much as it's a game about politics.
Yep.
In that, you know, it's more or less, exploring how people use politics and stuff like that.
Right.
The way they really bullseye it, I mean, very good. Although I've noticed the combat seems kind of easy.
Are you playing on easy?
I'm playing on there's three modes. I'm playing on the medium one.
Yeah.
And I end most after I've cleared out an area, I usually end up with all my weapons with max ammo and with full life.
Right.
Is that a
mark against it in your estimation?
No, I mean, I don't know. It's just kind of weird. You know, it's almost, whereas the previous BioShock game, I felt, I don't know, at least for me, was fairly difficult. And, you know, I had to do a lot of planning, you know, had to be real careful. This one almost seems more like a interactive novel.
Hmm.
Yeah.
In particular, I haven't figured out the point of the, what they call them, the superpowers, what they call them in this one.
Yeah, the vigors.
Yeah, thank you. Just because they're approximately as difficult to aim as a regular as your gun, but they're not really that much more effective.
Right. They do different things. Like at least in the introduction, I found one that persuades machines to do your bidding.
Right, and I use that to steal from the machines generally, right. But. If you use it on a turret, it only lasts for a certain period of time, so I end up just killing all turrets I come across.
Right.
It's not bad.
These are the plasmid equivalents, right?
Yes, the plasmid equivalent.
I always found the plasmids to be more about, like, just the cool factor, and Cole, I love your analogy here, but giving you extra verbs versus actually being more effective.
Right.
And I guess in their defense, my verb for just about everything so far is Skyhook. I really like the melee weapon they give you.
Nice.
Yeah, no, that melee weapon is the brutalest thing.
I really like the way they set it up. It just very much comes across as this isn't so much a weapon you're using, so much as it is you violating OSHA guidelines.
Well, I mean, like, this is first half hour spoilers, so I don't care what you think. No, but like it's first introduced. It's like two city guards talking about getting like the new model of this thing, right? So it's meant to be a peacekeeping device,
right? Right, but I mean, just the way it looks, that whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
It does seem weird, though. This game doesn't really seem like a BioShock game or a System Shock game or whatever. You know, so far there's no real horror elements to it.
Hmm.
You know, it's it's a great game. You know, I mean, but
yeah.
So have you guys, and this is not spoilers either because it's in all the, have you guys met the girl yet?
I actually have, and it's really, really, she's really well done on the whole.
It's hard to have horror elements when you've got a sidekick, I guess.
Sure.
I mean, you don't. Good.
I don't think this is a spoiler, but a lot of what makes her interesting is just her utter horror at the things you do.
Right.
Oh, huh.
Basically, he's kind of the hard-boiled, you know, burnout detective, and she's basically not.
Yeah, let's tread real careful, because I'm going to be angry if things are spoiled.
Exactly. So, a lot of it's the interplay between that.
Right.
So far I'm really enjoying it. Although I have to say with the number of record players and people in retro style clothing, I had to be at least two hours into the game before I realized it wasn't a game about me fighting an army of hipsters. they even like the Beach Boys before it was cool.
Yeah, I dig the kind of the period technology and just kind of like weirdness of it.
I like the fact that they pulled in kind of the patent medicine type thing. Or...
Yeah, the snake oil salesman, except the snake oil actually works.
Yeah, the one that I haven't been able to figure out is it's not clear whether those things exist outside of Colombia.
He seems let's save it for a bonus level.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh man. So yeah. BioShock Infinite. It is a good game. None of the criticisms that she levied at it for being too easy or for being a visual novel are all good things to me.
Neither of those are bad things.
Have you considered bumping it up to hard?
See, honestly, and I guess maybe this is kind of the point, I don't care. That's not really why I'm playing the game.
Right.
Nice.
It's more just it surprised me. It wasn't what I expected.
So is that all we've been grinding on?
Think so.
Okay.
Multiplayer.
Now it's time for the multiplayer segment where we ask you, the listeners, to participate in the discussion. And we give you most of the floor. In an I Love Lucy kind of way, we have put a tape line down for, you know, which part of the floor is yours, which part is ours. And, you know, that way... we will not, conflict. Most of our side has the bathroom, or most of the bathrooms on our side. Anyway, the question for this week's multiplayer prompt was submitted by Ben, and I'm really sorry that he wasn't able to be here for this. But what's the strongest emotional response you've ever had to a game? Pretty baseline, kind of level question. And we would like to hear what you have to say. So, Dennis, read what Matt says.
Yeah, he starts with a warning, obvious spoilers.
It's a 6-year-old game.
Yeah, it's considerate of him, though. but he says, when I played the original BioShock, buzzword for this episode, there's a part where you're trying to rescue Atlas's family. It has been your entire goal up to this point, and then the sphere they are in explodes. It actually made me feel legitimately sad and angry at the bad guy. I can't remember any other game that actually did that to me.
Hmm. I can't remember any other time I felt things. I remember that moment. Like, that sticks out to me.
Mm-hmm. To that point, I scrounge ammo really bad in games like these. So I exited that place with almost full ammo for all the guns, which was very bad for the next several enemies that showed up.
Oh, man. I've got a couple of responses that are on my personal Facebook wall, and then there's one on email, so I'll do these. Jackie on Facebook says, seeing 3D for the first time in Ocarina of Time inspired and amazed me so much that I decided I wanted to become a 3D artist someday. And then I went to computer animation school 10 years later. Success!
Nice. Yeah, that's really cool.
Being inspired about a medium. Right.
Yeah. And by a specific game in the medium.
Yeah.
Yeah. I guess I'd kind of forgotten the degree to which, as we called it at the time, Zelda 64 was a really big deal.
I mean, I remember, I don't know. It wasn't the first 3D game that I'd seen. The Sega Saturn came out roughly before that. It was the most 3D world that I'd ever seen. But going to Blockbuster to play Super Mario 64, because only the richest kings in Europe could afford an N64 at the time.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. No, that's a big deal. I mean, I don't know. It's not real 3D. It is 3D modeled things. I understand that. However, it's kind of like seeing color for the first time. Not like in your real life, but color television or movies or whatever.
Yeah.
It is a shift in the medium that you didn't expect. To avoid hyperbole, I can definitely understand that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, David, what does Murph say?
Murph says, does yelling hell yeah and doing a victory dance after throwing the laser sword at my friend who was getting back to the platform with Donkey Kong and winning Smash Bros. Against him for the first time count as an emotional reaction?
Yes, it also counts as a run-on sentence.
Yes. Yes, it does. Our freshman year, actually all three of us, had a dude in the hall that was incredibly good at Smash Bros. So we proceeded to just hole up in a corner and spam the long-range attacks until he threw down his controller and quit. And
he was so fucking pissed.
That was one of the highlights.
He took it way too seriously.
Yeah.
That's funny.
Wow. Yeah, no, definitely in general, I think that qualifies, and especially in Smash Bros. That qualifies.
Well, like, it's, so we're inferring that the person was pissed off at it, like, but like, your sense of victory, probably not as pronounced as his sense of defeat. So this is, we're getting both sides of the coin here.
It's the way in which he won, though. This wasn't like some, you know, this was a winning with style.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah. Like a fluke accident.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Let's see here. I'll do one just because I have responses on my side.
Yeah.
Jen on Facebook says, it's hard not to drop spoilers. I am such a scaredy cat, so amnesia. The whole time, my strong curiosity was at odds with debilitating fear of what's behind the next door. I'd eventually quit, turn on all the lights in the house, and watch My Little Pony. a few days later, I'd get curious again. ...
Rinse and repeat.
Yeah, yeah. So I realize I've neglected to have us put ours in. So I'll piggyback on hers. Amnesia, definitely. To a certain extent, like different Silent Hill games, but Amnesia and Silent Hill, you know, the scariest games that I've played that have made me specifically have to get up and go into a different room, like not turn off the game, pause it. Put down the controller, get up, and just walk around in a different room for a while.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
I think the other interesting thing about the response is the period of time that it covers. So this isn't, you know, this isn't just a one-time emotional experience. This is something that plays out over, you know, a couple of weeks or, you know, however long it takes her to get curious again. Yeah. Which is unique to games, you know. I guess you could pause a movie, walk away, come back, watch a little bit more. Yeah. But I feel like the gaming medium lends itself to that kind of extended experience.
Yeah, you have a relationship with this thing for as long as it takes you to complete it. Yeah.
Yes, agreed.
Yeah, definitely. It's Yeah, I don't know. I mean, there have been games that have, like, you know, dude missed it at, you know, Walking Dead, specifically, at least stands out in recent memory. Mass Effect, you know, I'm not afraid to admit to having human emotions, you know.
Liquid human emotions sometimes.
Yeah, yes.
They're piped in.
They're piped in. We worked out a deal on humanity. Oh man. Speaking of that, I'll just do this and then we can go, then you guys can do yours. Brian Russell Wade says the last decision of The Walking Dead. You know the one. Nobody here does except me and maybe you, Brian. So
that's your burden to bear.
Yes, that is our burden to bear. Oh God, I can't wait. So keep me text updated.
I will live tweet to your text.
Live tweet me. I live vicariously through other people's, you know,
gaming experiences.
Yes, yes. So how about you guys? I mean, you have emotions, I assume, unless you're figments of my imagination.
I don't know. I find I tend to be more. There's games where I'm interested in the game and I care about the characters and the world and stuff. But I don't know. Not a lot that I would say necessarily emotion,
right?
Although I do have to say, probably one of the weirdest ones was Magi Nation, the old GBA game that I mentioned once every five episodes.
Referenced to frequently, yeah.
I think part of it was probably just the fact that I really loved the game, but I think it's also, you know, over the course of the game, several characters die. I think it was the fact that, one, the rest of the game is really, really zany and lighthearted, so it kind of did a contrast. But also, you know, just when they died, it wasn't real. It was just they're gone. You know, mm-hmm. you would go to their house, and they're just not there. And then also, at the very, very end of the game, you can get to this place where basically one of the final dungeons has a statue of each of the innocent characters that dies in the game.
Oh, no.
Ahoy, ahoy.
Hey. We are joined at the 11th hour. Quite literally, it is 11 p.m. over here.
Yeah.
Dang it. Sorry. We almost got it back.
It is not your fault. It is entirely my fault.
No. Don't worry about it.
Yeah.
We're answering your question, Ben.
Oh, what was my question?
Your question was, what game most affected you emotionally?
Oh.
Yeah, yeah. I said Amnesia and Silent Hill for being a scaredy. And David just said Imagination on GBA for regret and loss.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. Let's get Dennis, and then I want so you can get acclimated to the temperature in the room here. Then I want to hear yours.
All right, sounds good.
Yeah, I measured my response to this question. I wasn't sure what to say at first, but I kind of measured my response to this question as to how much it emotionally affected me, you know, outside of playing the game as well as during.
How much I inflicted this on the people around me, like just outbreaks at work.
Yeah, right. Dennis, you really haven't been focused, and you kind of broke down over there. I didn't think I was criticizing the work that bad. Like, it's overall good. No, you just don't understand. I'm going through some shit, man.
I noticed that you're smoking at your desk and staring into the distance.
Yeah, and definitely there have been, you know, those any multiplayer game moments of like, yes, all right, I did it, and you know, the one in a million shots or the completely random grenade lobs and all that stuff. And then as I thought about, you know, negative emotions, the Dark Souls came to mind, right? Just as there are moments in that game where it's like, I'm done, I quit, I hate this game, and then I get back into it because no, I'm not gonna let it beat me, and you know, all that stuff,
right?
But really, Spec Ops The Line, I think, affected me emotionally the most. Just in, like I said, in terms of the amount of time that the way it weighed on me when I wasn't playing it, and just, you know, there's a feeling of gravity to it, and you know, not quite being able to place your finger on what's wrong throughout the entire game, that that just really, really affected. I felt like my overall emotions while I was playing it. But then just also by the end and with some key decisions that you make towards the end, I was not making decisions based on what I thought was right for the gameplay, but because or what I thought was in character, but because genuinely I emotionally didn't think I could take the alternative of what I was deciding.
Yeah, don't give up hope on us doing a bonus level of that. My car wreck kind of fucked up my plans, but I would hope to I would hope to do one sometime here in April.
I've plinked over some tweets and some emails to Jaeger and just, you know, nothing's come of it. But I would love to do that. I think I would want to play through it again, probably on easy mode, just so that I can get the experience again and have it fresh in my mind. But
right.
I would love to do that. But yeah, just you know, at the end of the game, if someone asked me like, why did you do what you just did? It would not have been any reason related to the game. It's just I felt afraid.
Yeah, something external.
Yes.
Or and internal, rather, I guess.
Yes.
Yeah.
something, yeah, deeply, deeply internal that the game was able to stir. And that was amazing.
Yeah.
So
kind of apropos of that, there were some responses that I missed that were in the email. So I hope you didn't panic earlier, people. Sam, via the contact forum, says, I'll bet that most responses are going to be akin to sorrow at a character's death or satisfaction at seeing someone get their comeuppance. But Spec Ops made me feel stomach-turning shame and regret. Both of these are more complex than cheering or jeering at a cutscene. But more importantly, they could only come so strongly from an interactive experience. I tried so hard to do right. And in some ways, I'm proud of the choices I made. But it's a speck of pride in a murky swamp. Excellent writing, Sam.
Well awesome. Said.
Well
yes.
Stated.
How did he spell speck?
Who's the math major?
I think it was more of a pun on the title, Spec Ops.
Yeah.
No, that just cut everything I said and just replace it with that.
Okay, yes. I'll do that. I'll do that for yes. you right now.
Well done, Sam.
Yeah. So I've got a couple more responses, but I want to give you a chance to say your piece, Ben, because something inspired you to ask this question, right?
Well, yeah. I think I wrote this question right after I played the Walking Dead series. So,
yes.
That is one. But I feel like my answer's totally been, I don't know, devalued from the last comment, because it's the ones that I have are all about sorrow.
That's perfectly valid. I mean, I forget if I said it before, you know, before you got on here or not, but I've dude missed it, you know?
Yeah. Oh yeah. No.
Well, I think the interesting thing is, you know, I'm sure we all get those experiences of joy and elation in games, but it's, we tend to take those for granted more so than the moments of sorrow, because it's a game. That's what you should be getting out of it, is fun and joy and everything like that. Mm-hmm. Whereas our definition of game is changing, but at least kind of that inherent expectation you have trends you towards more noticing the things that would seem to stand in opposition to it.
Yeah. And even for as like inelegant as a lot of like games are when they do this kind of stuff, like when it's obvious that they're trying to pull the strings and, you know, just it's not very tactful, you're still willing to like take yourself along for the ride since you've opted into this experience, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But in addition to not only The Walking Dead, I'd say like Shadow of the Colossus.
Yeah.
Any that game company game would be pretty much up there, like Sojourner and Flower. Mm-hmm. But yeah.
Does Flower have like an emotional climax more than just an emotional feel?
It has a turn to it, right?
Yeah. No, it has a climax, if you will. Yeah.
Hmm. Neat.
So I have a couple questions since I've kind of been out of the loop for the last hour. Did anyone beat Bioshock yet?
I have not.
Okay.
Have
Is
you?
Anyone else playing it?
Hall of Heroes.
Okay. Get on it, boys. I'm about to lap you. I'm going through my second playthrough.
You've almost assuredly lapped me. I can spoil this. We want to do a bonus level on it in May. So.
Okay. Okay. Sounds good. Yeah. And then...
Oh,
I was going to say, Spec Ops The Line has been staring me in the face for like $20. So
yeah.
I think I might get on that and try and get in on the bonus level.
Yeah, it'll be towards the end of the month. I was saying earlier, but my car wreck kind of fucked that plan up.
Gotcha.
I will reimburse you for that game. Go buy it.
Hey, yeah. Actually, what you said reminded me in terms of emotional response, the beginning of Bioshock...
The first one?
Yeah. Cut this from the podcast line if this is too spoiler. But something you guys have all seen. The baptism scene.
The first one or Infinite?
Infinite.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
You know, I'm really, you know, very religious. So the whole part where they're like, yeah, now we're going to baptize you. That was really, really creeped me out.
Even as somebody who's not religious, that creeped me out.
Yeah.
Just kind of like, wait a minute, I don't want to be baptized.
In stark contrast to Nacho Libre's baptism.
No, this was basically identical to that.
Nice Nacho Libre reference.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Are you going to do a... what was the one he did about sci-fi authors after that?
Oh, I can't even remember. Know.
Like, not Secondhand Lions, something Stallions. They had Jermaine Clement from Flight of the Conchords as an L. Ron Hubbard type character.
I feel like we should talk more about Secondhand Lions.
Oh, I will do that anytime. But
yeah, no, I haven't beaten it yet. I intend to. It's just, you know, life.
Okay, I was just trying to catch up.
Yep, so. No. Perfectly fine. But apropos of sorrow, we have Aaron on Twitter. His username is not availing itself of me. I will look it up right now. Yes, A.A. Hecker. Let's see here. Friend of mine from college. Cool bro. Says, Lost Odyssey for 360. Hour-long interactive funeral. I cried. That or the whole Mass Effect series. Hashtag pure bliss.
Yeah, Mass Effect definitely... had at least the first one had some parts that very emotional.
Yeah, like emotional in the way that like a military movie would be. Like, you know,
actually for me, probably the most was the
6-year-old game.
Sorry,
6-year-old game.
Okay, yeah, interceding on the. Part where the jellyfish dude is trying to proselytize on the causeway.
Oh, right. He's talking about the enkindlers.
Right.
Yeah. Hmm.
But
by the way, nice encyclopedic knowledge about that, Cole and David.
Well, they worship the Protheans. As right. as the original bearers of all knowledge and technology, yeah.
And what I never understood is how does a creature with no appendages, like,
I think
gain sentience and space travel?
I think he has more appendages than us. He is kind of a squid creature kind of thing race.
They're curled up in another dimension.
Yeah, the Hanar.
There are two camps of thought on that, and.
What is it? They're like, there's that one kind of jellyfish that's immortal, or effectively immortal, because it doesn't die; it just reverts back to its spore stage, and so like the same organism technically lives, you know, for thousands and thousands of years, but it grows to adult, then regresses back to its like little polyp, then grows back to an adult, and regresses back to its little polyp, proving that the ocean is the worst thing. Like, buy as much plastic shit as you can. We got to drown that out.
Reverse drown that out.
Yes. And finally, Allie, via the contact form, says, a legit rage quit of WoW. I had a bitchy guildmate that sent me over the edge one day after I was already raging about having to grind dailies to get rep to use the reward from grinding heroics to get the gear to do better heroics. It is the stupidest system ever for, quote, casual gamers. Rage quit. I didn't understand any of that, but it sounds asinine. Ugh, man, the worst. So that's multiplayer. If you want to take a look at those things, you can go to facebook.com/thelevelpodcast or twitter.com/duckfeed.tv where we put those things up. Plenty of response. Thank you so much for hitting these things up. Do we want to do kind of like a brief grind for you, for you, Ben, just to get a pulse check on you?
Yeah, sorry, I'm half eating dinner here, so I'm muting myself. Yeah, I know. Basically Bioshock Infinite beat it. It's awesome. We'll talk more about it later. I won't say anything about it. I won't say any details about anything going on. I'll just say that it definitely pushes some mediums of video games. So it has done a few things that I have not seen up to this point. So
nice.
So yeah, it's cool. So cool. We'll talk more about it later. That's about it. So now I'm going to get something else, I guess. Probably get Spec Ops Line.
Cool.
Since everybody, I heard from someone else too that apparently somebody wrote like a 1,000-page essay on Spec Ops the Line.
Okay.
Wow.
Some sort of manifesto.
Page? Like a
Something like a
thesis.
I don't know. I only heard that somebody just wrote a really long paper talking about that game.
Huh.
So apparently it seems like it has a cult following now.
Yeah.
Seems like it's official. So
although he did quote The Great Gatsby in its entirety 5 times. It seemed like filler.
I was with them the first 3 times, but the 4th and 5th, I don't know.
I've been watching I'm watching YouTube videos of Andy Kaufman on a recent extras. Oh, this is the worst thing. On a recent extrasode of Watch Out for Fireballs, I alluded to the fact that after my car accident, I considered recording an episode of the show to be aired posthumously. Of just like everything to be put out on the feed. It's like, hey guys, I'm like straight up dead. Yo, record, download everything you can, before the bandwidth bill goes unpaid. Been fun. and then I started singing in this friend, referring to the man on the moon, the Andy Kaufman biopic where Andy Kaufman recorded that thing for his own funeral. And then I've been watching a lot of Andy Kaufman since then.
In summary, wow. Andy Kaufman.
In summary, Andy Kaufman.
He trusted you.
Yeah.
That one was for you only, Cole.
Thank you. Ow.
Are you still hurting? Yeah, should I not make jokes?
Oh man.
Remember to breathe, Cole.
It hurts. It hurts so bad. Do we want to do end bosses?
Sure.
Yes. Are we able to?
Yeah, we are. We are. I'm going to take a drink of my beverage.
The end boss.
End bosses, where we summarize our thoughts for the week. Does anybody want to volunteer to go first?
I will.
All right.
The reason why I'm late is I'm doing a corporate challenge thing for a poker tournament, and so I made the playoffs, so to say. So I'll be in the tournament at the Stratosphere in like a month or so.
Ooh, wow. Whoa, nice!
Is this for stakes?
No, it's just for fun.
Okay. Do they feed you?
I don't know.
Do they feed,
I don't know.
They feed you no steaks.
Thank you. Alley-oop, David.
I want to find some way to describe you as a professional gambler. So how can I get there?
You can lie. That's one way to get there, I guess.
The universal shortcut.
Well, I mean, if you do any of this on the clock, then technically you would be, right?
Yeah, I don't think it's on the clock, though. But it's at the Stratosphere, which I have not been to, so whatever.
So do they take you up there like in some kind of like low-orbit rocket?
didn't you see that dude who jumped out, you know, did the parachute thing?
Just from the stratosphere. Yeah, he just went up to the bar. Yeah.
This is that, except you're playing poker as you're falling through the air.
Yeah. Well, congratulations on doing well at a gambling event.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's see here. How about you, David? You have some big news.
Yeah, I finally received my acceptance letter. I'm heading off to Cincinnati in the fall to hopefully start on a PhD in computer engineering. So
congratulations.
Congratulations, David. Awesome.
Crazy, awesome. Crazy excited.
You're on your road to being Dr. Moneysmith.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Actually, my basic job, my basic goal is that once I become Dr. Moneysmith, I'm pretty sure that qualifies me to be a James Bond villain.
Yeah.
For when you're applying to graduate schools, you have to send in, you know, all these essays on, you know, why do you want to, study engineering, you know, what are your goals for research? So I just sent them Iron Man on Blu-ray.
Nice. Ballsy move.
Yeah. I sent them pre-ordered tickets to Iron Man 3. Be there. So that's funny. Congratulations, David.
Hey, thank you.
Yeah. Mine's not exciting, so I'll do it so it's not the last one. This puts a lot of pressure on you, Dennis. one of my reasons for moving recently was to get closer to work. It is really fun not having that much of a commute, especially when every moment that you're on the road is unending horror. when you realize that, oh, because that car got a little bit too close to me, I haven't breathed in a couple of minutes, and my heart is beating really fast in my throat. So being on the road for 10 minutes every day, as opposed to 45, is a blessing.
It's kind of interesting that this is a problem that solved itself, but it also created itself.
What do you mean, being on the road? And that? Because I was moving at the time?
Exactly.
Right. No. So I didn't get in a wreck because I was moving. I bruised my ribs because I was moving because I had a bed in my car. I don't know if I ever told that story on the air. I was taking a left turn at a green light. There was a car going way too fast in the oncoming lane. I got hit on the passenger side. I had a disassembled IKEA bed in my car that was going from the trunk up over the center console. You know, I had my arm resting on it. Hit on the passenger side, slammed into it, bruised my ribs. I have a Tommy Boy bruise, like, up and down the area there. For a while, it hurt to breathe or walk or move, and now it just hurts
to laugh.
Yes, especially laugh. Now it just hurts to laugh a lot, as you have discovered, Ben. So, yeah, that is my emboss.
All right. Mine, I guess since you put me last and all this pressure, I'm going to have to come correct. I'm going to bring a double end boss.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah. So the first one is non-games related. I've been doing 007 on the 7th, which is just a new tradition that me and my wife invented. The 7th of every month, we are watching every James Bond movie in sequence from the beginning. And we are eating themed foods to go with it.
Oh, okay.
So we watched Dr. No first, and we had Dr. Pepper pork and Dr. Pepper floats.
Oh, wow.
And then this last 7th, we watched From Russia with Love.
White Russians.
And we had White Russians. And then there is such a thing as a White Russian cheesecake, so we did that as well. So, yeah, that's a lot of fun. We might try to open it up, make it more of like a party thing in the future, so... if we decide to do that, I'll let you guys know. You can come over and enjoy some food, watch some James Bond with us.
Yeah, yeah. No, Goldfinger would be a good one to do that on.
Yeah.
Honestly. Yeah.
Yeah.
Are you just going to listen to Goldfinger in the background?
No, just you would drink Goldschlager.
There you go. Yeah, see?
Yeah.
Golden chicken fingers.
Perfect, yeah. So that's been fun. And then video game related and boss... If you have not seen news or previews of the game That Dragon Cancer going around yet, look it up. It's I mean, it's really, really early on. I think it's like in a prototype phase, but just the responses that it's getting tell me just that something special is brewing over there. So That Dragon Cancer, and look it up.
No, I am definitely curious about that. It has cancer in the name.
Yeah, and it's read the Kotaku article first, and that'll be I'll send you the link. That's right. The perfect introduction to it.
Yeah, no, I'm really curious about this now. Looking at their homepage, so cool.
Yes,
fantastic. You guys want to button it up?
Sure, let's button it up.
Let's do this thing.
I'm tired of talking to you guys.
This has been an undying chore.
The credit.
So that was level number 18, where we talked about video games and video games accessories. There are some things that you can do. You know, just having listened to this, we'll try and keep it short, as we always try and sometimes fail to do. You can check out, you know, duckfeed.tv. There you can find our show. You can link to us on, Facebook, iTunes. On iTunes, you can leave us a rating or review. Those really help. You can like us on Facebook, facebook.com/thelevelpodcast. Things happen there. You can tell friends. You know, that's all, you know, not all you can do to spread the word, but it is a nice thing to do to spread the word. You can follow Duckfeed TV on Twitter. That's kind of the general network. Twitter. It's also, you know, kind of where stuff related to the show kind of ends up. Let's see here. Hopefully at around the time that this episode comes out, there will be t-shirts available for the shows on the network, just like basic logo tees. And we're going to put up the information about how to get a hold of those. But that'll be on the main website. You'll see like a blog post and a link to the shirt store. And then kind of like more designs will come in as that kind of, you know, kind of happens. It won't be a way to really like, you know, kick bucks our way, but to get shirts that are for a podcast that you like, it's a nice thing to do. What am I thinking of here? If you would like to support the network, you can go to duckfeed.tv/tipjar. You can use the Amazon link there. That kicks us a couple of bucks every time you buy something, a little bit of a percentage of what you buy. And that does definitely help out. I mean, for the past couple of months, just for example, that has supported like the hosting of the website, the hosting of all of the like the bandwidth for the shows, basically everything except for the larger bandwidth bills and some, you know, recent equipment expenses have been covered by that, which is incredibly
nice.
Appreciated. I don't know. I feel gross talking about money, but that is a tangible way that if you're going to buy something, it helps us out. Doesn't cost you a single extra cent. So yeah, did I miss anything, fellas?
I don't think so.
Okay. So, we'll do the name and Twitter roundup. I am Cole Ross. That is KOLEROSS on Twitter.
I'm Dennis Furia at DFURIA.
I'm David Moneysmith at Moneysmith777.
I'm Ben Merkel at Merkelizer.
Sorry, I was in the middle of a swig. So thank you so much. I really enjoy doing this show with you. And thank you, listeners, so much for listening. We will see you soon.
As a side note, according to the Wikipedias, the Justice League headquarters is based on Union Terminal.
Oh, fantastic!
Nice.
Yeah, no, that I knew that. I knew that that couldn't be a coincidence.
Which that just means Flash Mob needs that.
So. God, I love that building so damn much.
And it can be a Flash Mob with the Flash.
Of all Flash. Holy shit. Can we make this happen? I'll make this the post roll, please.